May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 681, 681. Blessed are they whose guilt is gone, whose sins are washed away with blood, whose hope is fixed on Christ alone, whom Christ has reconciled to God. Hymn 681.
Thank you. Let us read from the sacred pages of God's Word, from the Gospel according to John, chapter 10. John 10. The Gospel according to John, chapter 10. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is as a thief and a robber. He that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, He hath a devil, and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him, and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I tell you, and ye believe not. I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou being a man, it makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law, I said, Ye are gods? If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, Thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me, and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand, and went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized. And there he abode. And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true, and many believed on him there. Let us pray. Almighty Father, Son, Holy Ghost, that which is, which was, which is to come, the Almighty, the Holy One of Israel, we would humble ourselves in prayer in this public way, to address the majesty of heaven, for our times are in thy hands. Do give us that gracious humility, that gracious dependence through love, through faith, to bow and worship thee, to lay passive in thy hand, making our requests known unto God. Do enable us to come to thee in that way of living vital faith, to know thou art God and thou reignest, and to know and believe in the Father and the Word, the being, thy very being, and thy very grace, and the Son. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And if the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. So we come to bow before our great high priest. We need a high priest, and by grace thou becomest thy people's high priest, their intercessor. We plead that grace to be in exercise, to be flowing in the gospel by the Holy Ghost, reaching our hearts and coming to our dry places as living waters. Lord, we come to confess our sins of today. Just one day, our whole life. Leave us not to rest short. Give us that wrestling prayer to know that our sins are forgiven and put away, as we've been singing. Lord, forgiveness, 'tis a joyful sound to malefactors doomed to die. May this bliss in me be found. May I redeeming grace enjoy. We need it, Lord, for there is a fountain opened for sin and uncleanness. There is, and we come pleading it. Let me taste the purple flood. Dear Lord, so may we know thee. Herein standeth forgiveness. The gospel doesn't come in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. Favour us, as Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, we humbly pray. We come before thee. Our days are numbered. Our life is limited. And We see the day approaching when we shall stand before the judgment seat. Lord Jesus, be our advocate. May we know thee now. Lord, and if we discover thee and know thee now, and we hope and trust some have known that tremendous mercy in whatever measure of grace has been granted, or thou art that faithful one, but do assure us. Forsake us not now as the day approaches. O Lord, leave us not now. Abide with us. It is evening hour. It is evening time. Many are coming past the 70 years or coming up to it, and 10. Lord, at evening time the word is there. Promise it shall be light. May that light reach us. Also we ask thy blessing this evening upon the word. O Lord, we've no power, no might, but our eyes are upon thee. O do bless the word of grace, the word of the gospel. This is thy glory, Holy Ghost, for the glory of the Son, who is the glory of the Father. So we plead with thee for help. Remember us now as we gather. Oh, let the Holy Ghost be in our midst. Oh, forsake us not. Oh, Lord, may our own soul be sanctified by thy truth, by thy gospel, and may we know our soul is redeemed, bought with a price. May we know the one who has redeemed us from death and will present us whole to the Father. Or may we know him, our great high priest. Leave us not to rest short. Lord, we can believe in a general way, but the living soul wants the well, the springing up. The living soul, the hungry soul, seeks the goodness of the word, the fatness of the gospel. And that is what we want. May we be among the living, hungering and thirsting. Their soul fainted within them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. Or may we know these truths again and again. Do bless this house of prayer. Remember the friends gathered. Bless the word of the gospel among them. Help thy servants and bless thy word as they come in and out. And on those occasions when there may be a meeting for reading and prayer, dear Lord, be in the midst. Remember their dear friends that bear office. Oh, help them. One this evening leading the public worship in his pathway. Lord, be with him. Forsake him not. Bless him indeed. Thou hast been his help, and no doubt he prays. Leave me not, nor forsake me. Do be with him. And also, our dear friend, the correspondent, do bless and be with him and his loved one. Be gracious unto them, and bless them indeed. And all that bear office, the church members, Lord, let them abide in union. It's not just trying to be friendly or be nice. May the spirits be drawn together. May their souls unite in Jesus. May each take the humblest place, and may each feed on thy word. Lord, do not the farm animals, some of them feed out of the same trough. It's the same food, whether they get a little or more. Oh, may they feed on Jesus together as a church and a congregation on the gospel, on thy dying love, on thy agonies, on thy resurrection, on the victories of the gospel, in the exalted Lamb of God. We seek these blessings for them as a church and a people. Lord, do remember all age friends. We think of one in the Bethesda home. Be near her. Bless her soul. Lord, undertake thou knowest her case and do favour her in soul. Overcome the infirmity of the mind and let her speak. Let her tongue be the pen of a ready writer. She may speak those things as touching the King. We can but ask, but let others likewise hear. Oh Lord, may we not be dumb pilgrims. How awful. Lord, thy work is a silent work within, but it must bring forth fruit and praise. Oh, leave me not to be dumb, I beseech thee, and especially be deaf to thy warnings and thy word and thy gospel blessings and comforts. Do you remember ill in middle life, heat and burdenness of business the day? Help them, bless them in all the cares, responsibilities, trials. Help, help, come, come, undertake for them. Hear their cries. Do you remember in younger years those with families, be gracious unto them. May the families be nurtured in the fear of the Lord. Do you remember younger friends going forth in life, in study, in business, further education, whatever it is. Go before them. Open thy hand. Provide. And may thy tender fear be in their heart. Or may they bear the yoke in their youth. May they know thy call. Bless the Sunday school, bless the children, the little ones, be gracious to them. And may the simplicity spoken at the Sunday school reach their hearts, the simplicity of salvation. Convince of sin and lead to Jesus' blood. We pray for each then. Well, we pray for this house of prayer. We pray for Zion at large. Remember the friends at Black Boys this evening meeting as a prayer meeting. And do remember each of thy servants on the walls of Zion. The editors of our denominational magazines. The secretaries of our charitable societies. Oh, do bless them in their labours. Do send labourers still into the vineyard. But we pray for our own churches. We pray for thy one spiritual Israel, unknown to us through the earth, and missionaries where thy name is feared, thy word is read. Oh, we think of the persecution through the earth, the deprivation. O Lord, and the war and the conflict, stay the hand of the aggressor and save us from a European conflict. Give our Western leaders wisdom how to deal with matters wisely. And undertake for us in the nation. Have mercy on England. Or remember our Prime Minister and the Cabinet. Or guide them, lead them. Raise up leaders, men of integrity in Parliament. We pray. Who know and will stand for what those things that are right. Remember our King. Pray for him, his consort. Be gracious unto him. And oh, give him humility and patience that he may know thee. Dear Lord, have mercy on us in the nation. Our humble request is, oh, that thou wouldest send forth again out of Zion those that thy servants who will sound the alarm and blow the gospel
under the power of the Holy Ghost and declare the whole counsel of God as in former years. Turn us unto thee as a nation. We've much to be thankful for in this country. While there are those, and we do cry for thee and sigh for the abominations done in the land, and the news every day gets worse and worse and worse. Oh Lord, oh, we've still much to be thankful for, and we would be thankful. But Lord, do hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place. And we would be thankful for all thy mercies to us personally. Preservation, protection, help, and provision beyond all expectation. Tender mercies daily. Measures of health and strength. Deliverances out of trouble. And helps by the way. But above all, the gospel. And the mercies and grace that flow with it. Oh Lord, we have the wonders of our great high priest. All the doors of Zion open, where Jesus reigns. I have a throne of grace, where Jesus sits and stands to make intercession. Sits to reign as a king. Stands to make intercession as the priest, our high priest. Lord, and thy precious blood, Calvary, thy dying love, oh, let me shelter here. Oh, let us not just know about it. Favour us in soul again. Oh, bring us close to thee, to thy sufferings, to know thee and view thee. Oh, hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place. The wonders of thy resurrection, our ascended King, our great High Priest, our Prophet, in glory. Oh, we would render thanks. Let us be aware of thou art in heaven continually, and yet as in earth, when thou wast in earth, this same Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Now, Lord, what we're before our hope is in thee. Bless the singing of thy worthy praise. O Holy Spirit, come. Lord Jesus, come. Grant help, strength. But blessing, Holy Ghost, come. Holy Ghost, come. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We ask salvation, eternal life, blessing now upon the word, and thy glory and grace in our midst, in the beauty and the glory of thine only begotten Son, whom thou didst send. We ask for salvation now and his presence, and ask thy blessing on us, O Holy Father, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Let us now sing hymn 892. Art thou by sin a captive led? Is sin thy daily grief? The man who break the serpent's head can bring thee sweet relief. Hymn 892.
In the complete dependence upon the Lord, I draw your attention to the book of Psalms, Psalm 23 and verse 3. Psalm 23 and verse 3. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Psalm 23, verse 3. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. How can this be? Who are those whom the Lord restores? Well, is Jesus your shepherd? David commences the psalm. What a word! The Lord is my shepherd. What a word! Dear friends, it's tremendous. For a poor lost sheep, for a sinner, and I say continually, and I feel to me it just increases. Are you ashamed of your sinnership? Do you worry about it? Dear friends, we ought to be. It's no good saying, but I've a saviour, the Lord Jesus, he's the Saviour, and I plead his blood. Yes, but that's a provision, and that's a mercy if you do. But it doesn't stop you being ashamed of your sins, and ashamed of yourself as a sinner, for what Christ suffered. But it is a gospel, though. It is a wonderful thing to have Jesus as your shepherd. Jesus is your shepherd. Is he your shepherd? We read John 10. Perhaps you're ready to say, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I wish he was. And I fully understand what you're saying. We can't just take it for granted, can we? While it's a mercy to look back on past blessings, yet we want the reality of them again, because a new day has come, and there's a new pathway, and there's a new trial, and so forth. But listen, there's something very clear here. You know, he says, my sheep hear my voice. And Jesus says here, and I've got to find it about the hireling, they don't know his voice. I can't quite. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. They know not the voice of strangers. Do you know the difference? Do you know the devil will send you to sleep and tell you not to worry, and everything's being all right, and you're a believer? He comes as an angel of light, you know. While it is well, say ye to the righteous, it shall be well with him. It will be well with him. But many fear, am I a sheep? Do you know the difference between the good shepherd and a stranger? If you do, you must be a sheep. Friend, you must be a sheep if you do. Because goats don't know, do they? And so forth.
That's a blessed chapter, you know. He goes before his people, and they follow not the voice of a stranger, the tempter, the tempter. You know, is there not that waiting upon the Lord? Did not David wait continually? Do you wait for him? King Saul, he couldn't wait for Samuel, could he? He got on with the sacrifice. He had no regard. Perhaps our younger friends, I know there's not many here of children, but, you know, he had no regard to what the sacrifice meant. He thought he could just do it. He didn't recognise there was a need of a mediator, a priest, did he? Do you recognise there's, you have a need, one to speak for you in the holy presence of God? Well, a wonderful thing if the Lord is your shepherd. You've heard his voice. You know his call. To have to realise, what did David mean? I shall not want. He wasn't being complacent. No, he saw in Christ everything he needed. In the good shepherd, the seed, the promised his own, of his own line. That in God, really, and in the promise of the seed, he saw everything he needed. Everything. Dear friend, do you see everything you need in Christ? Everything. A full salvation, a full love, a full provision, a full strength. And underneath the everlasting arms, a rock. You're on the rock, Christ Jesus. Safety, security, to the end. And in the river, when we come to Jordan. Dear friend, there's everything in Jesus, isn't there? Is he your shepherd? You know, I shall not want. I shall not want. David sees this in the provision of the gospel. He's got everything if the Lord is his shepherd. Now, we can't enter, maybe, and we have to be honest. Dear friends, don't be scared to say, well, I can get on with that verse, but there's another one I'm worried about. Then I look down two more, and yes, that's a comfort to me and help me. And the devil says, ah, but you don't know it all, you ought to know it all. Dear friend, just as you're led, as the Spirit leads, what the Lord gives you, what he gives you. Yes, it's been nice to say, that psalm's mine, or that chapter's mine, or that sermon was mine. I'm not going to criticise at all. It would be wonderful too, but be honest. What the Lord has done for you will stand. Have you, I'm not saying this particular psalm, although it's a very well-known psalm, in fact, the heathen could quote some of the pages of this psalm, I think the world knows, to Crim and the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, and so forth, as we were taught to sing at school. But you know, you may not come in here, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Have you seen what you want in the pastures? Have you seen the rest? Is your soul seeking rest? Is it seeking rest? And can you see that rest is in Christ? Have you seen that God himself rests in his love? God the Father rests in his love, as Zephaniah declares. Of course, the Son does as well. They rest in their love to the church. What is ordained, his chosen sheep, even chosen before Adam fell, but rested in that covenant. God rests there for his people. They're going to get the victory. He's got the victory for them. Despite what they're going through now, he knows they'll have the victory. He's bringing them. He's a merciful and faithful high priest. And his Son has come to bear our infirmities. and your trials and your sorrows and your griefs. The Father who can knows no change, knows no change in dimension, ever the same, yet merciful. God is love, but all the glory of Christ. Friends, he's borne our iniquities, you know. And yet become man to do that. His Godhead could not suffer. Christ's Godhead could not suffer. Yet the mystery is, he was one divine person, united in one person, God manifest in the flesh, and the everlasting Son. Yet he bore our iniquities. Have you a little faith as a grain of mustard seed to actually hope in that and to believe it? Well, he leadeth me beside the still waters. Are you led by the gospel? Friend, they're not foaming waters, are they? The gospel's not foaming waters, not raging torrents. The gospel's not raging torrents. You know, the law is a raging torrent, isn't it? But the gospel is still waters, quiet waters, quiet waters. Friend, has he led you by them? Now, I'm sure you've been on walks, whether in Scotland or other countries, and even locally here, and I know the terrain here is quite flat and not so many trees as in other places, but how pleasant it is to walk by a slow flowing river or water with trees and the hum of insects in the summer and birds and so forth flitting around. You know, there's nothing like in nature the still waters, the quiet waters. Friend, and there's nothing like it in grace. Nothing like it in grace. Has he led you beside the still waters? You know, and that he maketh me lie down in the gospel pastures. What does it speak of? A quietness and a rest. When the Lord speaks, there's a trust. There's a trust. But then David comes to something else. He's a man. He's a sinner. And while he looks at, in verse 2, the blessings he's had, and he begins with the foundation, that first verse is a foundation, friend. It's something that's from heaven. It's a divine decree. The Lord is my shepherd. And where is he leading us to? We could perhaps come to that in the other verses. And he goes before his sheep into glory. But he restoreth my soul. Is that what you want now? He restore to me the joy of thy salvation, cries David in that penitential psalm. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. And so forth. And again, in another, against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. That doesn't mean a crime, you know. That means pride. You know, God's people, and it, I wish this teaching, I was about to say, a terrible thing to say in a public place as a minister. I wish I could see, I've got to stop saying about, wish I could see it in Zion more. I wish I could see it in my own heart. He hates pride. He hates pride. Friend, and I've got enough to worry about with my pride without getting bothered about other people's. It comes home, it comes home. Pride. independence. You feel insulted. No one takes notice of you. Self-pity. The Lord is an abomination. Why, you younger, say, how's this can be? That can't be true. True grace humbles, brings you down as nothing. Friend, and we all need getting lower. I don't mean depressed and down and full of darkness. I'm not talking about that. I'm speaking in love. Love to him. Sinking down in those everlasting arms. Trusting him. Come what will. All to say, I spoke this word from a number of times, and I think I've done it from here. But I really begin to think, do I really understand it? My times are in thy hand. Oh, to rest there, quietly, quietly, trustingly, believing in what he's done for your soul, that he's your shepherd, and he'll bring you through to the end victorious. In him, not in yourself, in his love, in his grace, in his goodness. Well, we get in some terrible places, and a lot of it is our own fault, most of it. I know there is the trial of faith. I know the Lord lays things upon us which prove us, try us, test us. And we need it. And we usually fail in it until the Lord comes and helps us and delivers us again. Well, David, with this beautiful song and those opening statements, then comes to this. He restoreth my soul. Oh, dear friends, it's a wonderful truth. But when you need it restored, it doesn't mean you're singing on the top of a branch, does it? But you're in a low place. But he does. It's the Lord that restores. And we keep trying to restore ourselves. We keep looking around, trying to be more righteous, more holy, more prayerful, more this, more that. And nothing happens. We get lower. Why? Because Jesus will have all the glory. And he will keep you waiting till he restores you. Oh, to sink down. Friends, I don't want to lay down a definite line here, but all I can speak is from my own experience. What limit is, I do admit. But the way of restoration is to sink down in all humility and put our mouth in the dust and not say a word, but pour out your soul in tears, tears, tears of longing desires after him. The Spirit might open our heart to weep at his feet and to pour out our soul unto him and weep after his righteousness and tell him how good he is. And he hasn't dropped you in hell yet. And thank him for it. But beg for mercy. Weeping. Nothing in. When top lady is. Friend, nothing. We keep hanging on to something, don't we? We keep hanging on to this. That when the Lord. You want the Lord to come and bless you. We've got to come down. And down. To where. Near where Jesus came. You'll never come quite there, I don't think. I may be wrong there, but near there you will see how low he's come and he bless you there. And the way I'm qualifying it is simply that Christ suffered the whole church. We suffer for our sin. But he brings you to union with him in that he suffered for your sin. And then, as the dying thief, he willingly suffered, this man, we justly suffer. Oh, I justly suffer. I justly suffer. You can go out the road and down the road and say that to your neighbour, to a one you're walking with. I really wonder what we know. I justly suffer. Oh, it's a quiet place to come to, a sinking. Tears, tears of contrition, tears of love, tears of desire, tears of prayer, tears of reaching forth by faith, will he restoreth my soul. What a wonderful word. And he does. And in that Jeremiah chapter, calling Israel to repent, he makes a wonderful statement, God does. And these are the ones who never returned, for the most part. Israel got lost, dispersed in amongst the nations. You know, go proclaim, return thou backsliding Israel. Not cause mine anger to fall upon you, I am merciful. Oh, dear friends, humble in prayer. Oh, do plead with him. Lord, thou art merciful, because thou hast said so. And I need that mercy. I need that mercy. Only acknowledge thine iniquity. That's all the Lord asks. That's all the Lord asks. And we're so slow. Because we go home and say we're sinners to the Lord and confess a few things that come to mind, or I got in that wrong spirit. Friend, it lies deeper than that. It lies deeper than that. Or there's the couch beneath, it lies deeper. Only acknowledge thine iniquity. Utterly corrupt in all thought, deed, heart and will and pathway. Utterly corrupt. Drive down the road to the A14, and I guess, well, no, I'm not saying every occasion. I'm sure the Lord's gone down there with you sometimes, shining in your soul. I hope he has. I can take you to spots. Yes, no, well, we'll leave all that. But, dear friends, you can hardly drive down the street without your eye, an evil eye, can you? An evil thought. Something comes in, utterly corrupt. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers. Strange gods, philosophy, public opinion, the world, a false way. Friend, an easy salvation that just believes by the flick of the finger. Under every green tree. It looked so right, didn't it? And ye have not obeyed my voice. Come closer. Live upon me. Trust me. Come unto me, all ye that labour, heavy laden. I will give you rest. We're so slow in coming, aren't we? And then he says, turn, O backsliding children, for... I wanted to come here, for I am married unto you. For I am married unto you. Ponder it, dear friend. Now we have the text. He restoreth my soul because he loves his bride. Because he loves her. And we have Paul describing the dandling on the knees, and Isaiah, as he dandled you on the knees when he blessed you. But now we've wandered. Dear friend, in early courtships, the bride, or what, I mean, I don't want to speak wrongly here, dotes over the bride. I don't want to say this wrongly, but that love of God is toward you. Pure, holy love. Pure holy love. Therefore, because you are his bride and you are married to Christ, friend, married to Christ, he restores your soul in love, in love. You know, heaven is described, or the entering of glory into heaven in the gospel, at the marriage supper of the Lamb is come. What a depth there is there. What a glory there is to come. And all things are ready. You know, come to the end. The Lord has done everything. He's provided the feast. The marriage supper of the Lamb. Of course, we think of the Lord's Supper. It was a sacred supper. But, you know, the good shepherd was going to die. He lay down his life for the sheep. Well, I am married unto you. He restoreth my soul. You know, no wonder the prophets speak of you adulterers and adulteresses and so forth. In our hearts, self-confidence in religion is not living upon Christ, is it? Because you have got your own understanding, and that is of the not of the Spirit. The Spirit humbles, brings us down to the feet of Jesus. He restoreth my soul. I won't linger over this too long. What a wonderful mercy. Look in Hosea 14 and Isaiah, Jeremiah 3 and other portions. I will just turn. I didn't want to linger too, because there's the leading the paths of righteousness. But you know, in Hosea 2, the end of Hosea 2 and Hosea 14, I'm sure some of you are familiar with it, you know. You know, well, I go to Hosea 2 because that will actually speak of what I've just said. And this is when Israel is repenting. And I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, friend, have you been betrothed? Has he called you? Do you know his voice? Not the voice of a stranger. You know the voice of the devil. And you get so worried because you're not sure who it is. But Jesus speaks peace. And he draws. He doesn't make you complacent. He makes you weep. Jesus makes you weep after him and long for him and cry out after him. You know, the devil says, don't worry. You're all right. I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness. That's not yours. That's Jesus' righteousness. And in judgment. Oh, you know his judgments, don't you? But they're full of equity, full of grace. Are they very necessary? And in loving kindness. In loving kindness and in mercies. This is the tender shepherd. He restoreth my soul. I even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness. Friend, he will bring you to glory. And before he brings you to glory, he will bless you again. He will not forsake you. God is faithful. And thou shalt know the Lord. What grace. What grace. And he says, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, that hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words. Friend, go pleading his word and promise. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. Mark it, freely. No condition. Not any condition that you can bring. Not just because you've changed, but because he loved you with an everlasting love. I will love them freely. For mine anger. Oh, what a word. Friend, I value that sometimes. I really value that. Oh, to know his anger turned against us. Turned away from us. For mine anger is turned away from him. Turned, and where did it go then? On Jesus. God's anger against our sin. He didn't just turn it and lose it. No, we've offended him. He wounded his only begotten son. He turned it on Jesus. Precious Jesus. Well, I must leave this now, really, this part. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. as the in the East, as you know, I'm sure you all know this, the shepherd goes before the sheep. In this country, we have a sheepdog round the map, or he drives us, or two or three will put their arms out and drive the sheep in a certain way. But that good shepherd speaks his voice, and they follow him. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. It's very simple. It's to follow him in heart and in the word and in prayer and in meditation. It is to follow his footsteps in his dealings with you. Now, can you see where the Lord has led you a little and humbled you and spoken? Has he led you, like in Hosea 2, has he led you into the wilderness and spoken comfortably unto you? Has he brought you into a desert place at times and then spoken comfortably to you? And he says this to Israel, "Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared." And he goes on, and we need this, "Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not. If not, pardon your transgression, for my name is in him." Now, we may say, well, that was the angel that God said he would send with Moses and so forth. But who was in the fiery, cloudy pillar? It was the uncreated angel, not a created one. It was the Son himself, as the angel, as it were, of his presence. The spirit of his presence. "If indeed ye obey his voice, and all that I speak, I be an enemy unto thine enemies, an adversary unto thine adversaries," and so forth. And he goes on, "And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee," and those many, many promises. You say, this is all conditional. No, dear friends, it's in love. Do we receive the word in love to our soul? Is it received by grace, by the Spirit in our heart? You know, he sends his angel with us. God sends his Son with us to prepare us. He leads us into the place, heaven, that he's prepared. And Jesus has gone before us there. Well, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Jesus' blood, our shadow. Jesus' cross, our shadow. The shadow of his wings. His dying love, the power of his resurrection. And you think of the way he led his disciples. And he told them, "Behold, I go before you into Galilee, and there I will see you." And he did after his resurrection. And then he ascended there and tarried them, told them to tarry at Jerusalem. And then they were anointed. Beloved friends, they weren't just anointed to preach the gospel. They're anointed with grace in their heart, because they were in sorrow, he had gone. But grace was in their heart. They must have had that anointing. Don't think the ministry is just about being a gift of tongues and speaking. Yes, we need to be able to speak. Of course, then it was foreign languages, I admit that. But it's grace in the heart. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And the Lord, our righteousness. And faith given. Faith here to be led in the paths of righteousness, following Christ as his arrow. Friend, are you worrying because you're a sinner? You're never going to stop being a sinner all the time you're in the body. But isn't your cry to know him as your righteousness? What does Jeremiah say? What did Whitfield preach? So much. And he was challenged. The Lord, our righteousness. And he said, because he is my own righteousness. And Whitfield hadn't got any of his own. But he preached Jesus. Dear friend, may we be given the... He leadeth me in the paths, in the prayers of the paths of righteousness. It is me by faith in the paths of righteousness to know him and to follow him. And he did Paul. And what did Paul say? And I often quote it, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Why? Because he wanted to know it more. Not once, more. Larger communion, let me prove with thee, blessed object of my love. But oh, for this, no power of I, how true, my strength is at thy feet to lie. That's the strength of the saints. Fall down flat before him in prayer. Don't try and stand up before the Lord. Fall down flat. I believe some of you might have proved it. That's when the Lord has come and blessed. Well, it is taking up the cross, isn't it, and following him. I lead them the paths of righteousness. What for? What for? For his name's sake. There's a glory here. It's the Lord that's exalted, not the believer. The believer can rejoice in Jesus, but there's so much boasting today, isn't there? Oh, look what the Lord's done for me, and the Lord's done that, and it's all read out before the church and not the congregation, and they go and talk about it down at the village hall or something. Dear friends, let not the saint be exalted. Let Jesus be exalted in the heart. His name's sake. It's for Christ's glory in heaven. And it's for the saints will come there to praise him in heaven. For his name. It's not wrong, of course. Oh, friends, it behoves us to... Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And what was it about? Mercy. There's a difference between the saints communing humbly, tenderly, weepingly, than there is a lot of boasting and glory in the flesh. They're worlds apart, they're different worlds. Well, for his name's sake, dear friends, do you know the Lord? Is he precious? You will want to set him on high. Let him be exalted in your thoughts, in your heart, in your affections. Quietly, quietly going that way along as a humble sinner, following the Lamb once slain, your righteousness. Friend, we reach forth to that righteousness set before us in the gospel. We follow Jesus, our righteousness, that we might obtain. He says here also, and this is the pathway, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. We have a hint here how the Lord leads his people. For thou art with me. What a sacred word. Oh, to feel it. Have you felt it? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. His word is with you, and the angel of his presence is with you. For thou art with me, thou art with me. He goes on to say this wonderful truth, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Dear friends, one to support you with, and another to be your strength and your stay and your protection. And he goes on, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You know, what an awful despair is Satan in. He's the chief enemy. And God has prepared in front of him, he's not nigh to God, he's afar off. But he's a spirit, and he sees and knows what the saints are going to be delivered. He's not entered into it. He can't, but he's furious. And he's defeated. And he's mad. And it's gnashing of teeth. How awful. Do you fear to gnash teeth? You'll be gnashing teeth with the devil if you do in hell. If we're ever left to go to gnashing of teeth, we should be in the company of the devil and gnashing his teeth. But no. I've a good shepherd. A good shepherd. And he's spoken. And he's leading me. And his rod and his staff comfort me. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And we do. And we do. And we are. We could say more on that, but the time is running fast. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, the blessing of the gospel, living faith. Friend, this anointing it is that anointing of faith and life in the heart, the life of Christ in the soul, the life of faith. And my cup runneth over. Now, we have the last verse, and you know, you may think, I may look around and you may look around and others, and you realise, well, they've walked through a bitter pathway. But you know, dear friends, when we come to the end of the journey, and I hope we can say it now in a little way, in a little measure, surely, up to date, surely, though I've walked through the valley of the shadow of death, and I have, in whatever way the Lord has made it so, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Has it thus far? Friend, has it thus far? I can tell you, there's places where I've shaken my fist at the Almighty God because I was upset with him, and I was so upset and cross. I will say this to you. I was so full of confusion coming out of a meeting and so angry about what was taking place and so forth. In business, I'm talking about. And I felt defeated and humiliated. It would affect my future as well. And I came down over from Camden, down onto Primrose Hill, just above Regent's Park. And before I went into Primrose Hill, I shook my fist at the Lord. And I said, thou hast dealt hardly with me. God, Lord, thou hast dealt hardly with me. I didn't call him God, I called him the Lord, my Lord, the Lord. Thou hast dealt hard with me, Lord, thou hast dealt hard with me. And we sat on a seat. And I got out my Bible and I thought, I must turn to the Word. And I just opened it. And I fell right on the end of Isaiah 40. Why sayest thou, Jacob, and speakest thou, Israel? It just shows I'm getting old now. I can't remember it all. My way is hidden from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of understanding. He giveth power to the might. To them that have increased his strength, and to them that have no might, he increased his strength. And even the youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Friend, I shook my fist at God, and what did he do? He blessed me. This isn't boasting. Fills my heart with shame. But surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Do forgive me. I hope I've not done wrong. I'm not boasting. But can we not say, he restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yes, oh, let his name be glorified. His name's sake. Amen.
God willing, Mr. James Gudgeon is expected to preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Chapman next Friday evening. Let us close with hymn 570, 570. The Lord on high his love proclaims and makes his goodness known to men deserving endless pains. He gave his only Son. Hymn 570.
And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost, rest and abide upon us each, now, forever. Amen.